to the show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Off the Mats Podcast. And I'm taking it back a little bit. I'm bringing back an old friend. It's been a minute. So I'm happy to have back a good friend of mine, a friend to the podcast. And he was actually just on So You Like Horror just a couple of days ago. So welcoming back all the way from San Bernardino, Mr.
California.
Manuel, what's up, my friend? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good because I felt like I couldn't come back here unless I actually earned it. So I could just be like, hey, so I just gained 40 pounds. Can I come back on to off the mat? Like, I just felt like that would be the wrong move.
I mean, people have earned it in worse ways than you, trust me.
At least try to do something. Like, what have you been doing? Donuts and sitting down watching television?
Hey.
It's like there'd be a lot, like, nowhere to go from there, you know. Like, that's probably why I've been really into the horror movies, because my fitness hasn't been exactly where it should be.
It's like you did a horror podcast. It's like, oh, there's no prerequisite to this. I just gotta watch a movie.
I gotta watch off the mat. I gotta be scared of something. Well, that's easy.
Like, you do off the mats, and they're like, oh, you should probably, I don't know, do jiu-jitsu, at least play basketball or hopscotch.
Girl, do you even walk at this point? Like, are we rolling you around? Like, what are we doing with you?
I mean, you can get a leg cut off. That's a courageous story to tell, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, but like, it'd be only if, like, it wasn't like, okay, I lost my leg. Oh, what happened? I was on the couch, and then I was just sitting there for a long time. Like, that's not courageous anymore. Like,
maybe, I don't know. Well, I would still, like, I'd be like, yo, tell me that story. But then I feel kind of, maybe
we're going to tie into your other podcast. That's a Kalantan story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's something for everything. I just think off the mats has always been something that I, you know, really look forward to coming out on whenever I had, like, something kind of fun to talk about. And that's why I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy I did something that makes me want to be here, and at the same time, proud to have something to say, because I haven't been the most fit individual in a while.
Well, you know, as I always say, the door is always open, fit or not. You can always shoot me a message like, yo, you trying to record? And I will, you know, I'm like, yeah, like, you trying to do this tomorrow?
And I know that. And I know that because I know you, and you're cool like that. But for me personally, I felt like I needed a good reason to come on. And I couldn't just be there. Like, if I was going to help you out, for sure, you know, you can call me in a moment's notice. I'll show up. But for me, it was like, I really did want to have something worth talking about that would be something, like, fun to talk about and something that I'm proud of, something physical, obviously, you know, because I was going to come here like, hey, my kid got, you know, student of the month. Like, you know, it wouldn't be that one either. I'm proud of that. Very proud. But not the same thing.
Hey, that's still big news. You know, I was never student of the month. So I love living vicariously through other people's kids. Like, your kid was student of the month. Guess what? Me too now.
Yeah, no, I lived through their accolades. School and me did not get along.
Yeah, same. My daughter was just asking my wife the other day about us in school. And I was explaining in ways to try not to sound like a dick about it. And my wife just kept saying, you're just digging a deeper hole, because it was like, I didn't do any of my work. I always passed my tests and, you know, did my finals and I did well in those, but I never did homework. I never did, like, the busy work that they wanted us to do. And I was explaining that. And I said to my, you know, both my wife and my daughter, was like, look, it's all busy work. So I didn't do it.
But there's something to learn from that, though, because when your mentality is, I know I have to perform when I'm here, but my time is mine. It's almost healthier right now. Like, that's actually a more positive mindset for, like, the new generations, right? But I think where people get it wrong is like, no, I don't really care while I'm here. I'm not going to try while I'm in school. And then when I'm out of school, I'm not even thinking about it. So then it's like, well, then you just failed. So it's like, that's also not good. You know, like, so it's a balance.
Yeah, like, I was able to find that balance for myself, at least. And I know when I'm trying to explain this without sounding like, you know, super cynical to my child and my daughter, she, you know, I love my daughter. She's such a sweet kid, and she's the goody two shoe. And you know what? That's fine. Good. You stay precious. Stay good. Like one of the kids at the playground said a bad word, and she's plugging her ear. She didn't want to hear it. And
I'm not telling, but I don't like that he said that one bad word you told me not to say. So it's like, oh, you're telling, babe.
So my wife wanted that discussion to be had with me because she knows, look, man, I love me some bad words. Let's talk about it, son. So she comes and tells me, and I was like, okay. And I didn't want to ask her what word.
Right.
You know, I want to kind of keep that. Sarah did. Sarah was like, you know, what word? And she goes, it was the S word. I was like, okay, so listen here, honey. There's just words. And I'm going to tell you what I told my goddaughter, the same rules. They are just words. People say them every day. I say them. You'll probably say them eventually. You know what? That's okay. But my rule is this. I don't want to hear you say them. It's right. That simple. You can say them, but also keep in mind, too, the other rules to it is don't say them around, you know, like when you're older, don't say them around kids, you know, that are young enough to be your own. And don't, as a kid, don't say them around people that are old enough to be your parents.
I never said it that way. My rules are very similar for my kids. I think there's one extra part, which you might even agree with, or maybe even said it, like to her, right? But yeah. I said, I don't ever want to hear you say a word that you don't understand.
So that was the next part.
Slang. Even if it's slang, like, I don't care. If you don't fully understand the word, don't say the word. And then the second part was just like you. I'm like, you say the word when it's appropriate. If you're around peers and it's like that, then cool. But if you're trying to just sound cool and you say in front of a teacher and you get in trouble, I'm gonna come down on you. Because because you should have known better.
Yep.
But it's not a big deal if I say it. No, as long as you know when to say it and how to say it.
Yep. So I did also say, if you don't know what it means, you shouldn't be saying it. And then my wife says to her, did the kid know what the word meant? And she goes, I don't know. I was like, then you probably shouldn't be saying it.
Right.
It's like, it's that simple. And the thing is, when I had this discussion with my goddaughter, who was 13, I was teaching her to drive. So I think she was 13. She might've been 12. I can't remember. But
it's a good age.
She had gotten in trouble, and her mother says to me, you know, she got in trouble for in school. I was like, okay. She's like, can you talk to her? You don't want me to talk to her, because it's not gonna be that deep. So you know, I asked my goddaughter, you know, so what happened at school? She goes, yeah, I got in trouble for cussing. I was like, in roughhousing. I was like, okay, well, you know, were you just playing with your friends, like wrestling? Because I'm her godfather, of course she's wrestling. So she's like, yeah, we're just wrestling, we're just playing. I was like, okay. I was like, and then what'd you say? She was like, I said shit. I was like, okay. And then I explained same thing I said to my daughter, I said to her. And and then, you know, from that point, I was like, but now that the band-aid's ripped off, I don't really care. Like, you know, the biggest thing to me is like, I don't want to hear you say it.
Yeah, but, and I think that's the goal. Like, you want your kids and your family and even friends and stuff, you want them to be smart enough to make the right decision. And it's not that the word's good or bad. It's not that it holds any real power realistically. It's like, if you can't understand a basic rule like that, that you will get in trouble if you say this word, but then you can't control yourself to say that word. What you're showing me is a lack of control or a desire to fit in. And those are dangerous things.
Yes. Yes.
Like the word itself doesn't fucking matter. but the reality is what it means, if you can't hold it back, shows me a lot more.
Now, the thing that I, many years later, I'm walking my goddaughter down the aisle to give her away at her wedding, and we're about to walk out, and we both we're sitting there laughing because like, dude, they picked the two most anxious people to walk down this aisle. She says this to me. I was like, well, you have to walk down this aisle. It's your wedding. And she goes, yeah. And as the doors are opening, she looks up to me. She goes, hey, don't fuck this up. And like,
appropriate. That was a good sure timing. Way.
Yeah. Like, this, the surest way to get me walking down there with a smile on my face.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, you were good.
I was, you know, it was like that weird
moment. Proud,
I was proud of her.
Yeah, exactly.
Super proud.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it comes to cuss words, who fucking cares? It's just
It's just a word, man. It's like, just a word. People come on, smart. You know, be smart.
Like, people come on here and they're like, "Oh, am I allowed to cuss?" I was like, "I'd feel weird if you don't." Like, you know. Like, if you feel the need to do so in the story you're telling, and usually it's like they say ass or shit, and I'm like, oh my god, like, here, let's warm this up, turn it up a notch. But yeah, all in all, proud of Student of the Month for your son and for yourself. You recently participated in a Tough Mudder run, so
that's right, yeah.
Let's share. Share with the class.
Let's share. Well, I guess I should. Let's start this story with three stories ago. So, the whole Tough Mudder thing, it all comes from like my brother-in-law. He randomly found this one. Like, I think it was like it was one of those Groupon deals where he was like, "Hey, let's do this thing. It's in Dodger Stadium." It's one of those runs, and I didn't know what it was. And even if I would have known, I didn't know those things at the time. You know, this is back in like 2018. And he's like, yeah. Like, it's called Spartan Race. I was like, oh, well, what is it? It's like an obstacle course, you know, like it's an obstacle course. There'll be all kinds of shit to do. And it's at Dodger Stadium and you get to be on the field. And I'm like, well, fuck, that's worth it for me. You know, like that's right there. That's alone. I'm down. I don't care what could they possibly have us do that's so hard, right? Well, I was wrong because that thing was really difficult. It was really hard, and every time you fail, you have to do burpees. So, by the end of it, I was just like a shadow of myself. Like I was not great, but I finished it, and you know there was a few things I couldn't do. I couldn't do there was like a rope climb that you got to climb all the way up. It's like 10-foot rope and hit a bell. I couldn't make it up that thing. You know, it didn't have knots or anything. It was just straight rope, you know? So I was like, yeah, nope, that's not me, dude. I remember looking at the rope and then thinking back to grade school where they had like those metal poles back in the day that you could climb up. And I'm like, I never even made it at that when I weighed like 70 pounds. It's not going to happen. Like I don't have that kind of technique or strength. So there was things like that I didn't do, but a lot of the other stuff we did, and it's like very testing but fun, right? And I remember we all talked about that one, like, oh, this was hard, but it was so fun. I would do it again. So a couple years pass, and my same brother-in-law Eddie, he's like, hey, we're doing a mud run. This is 2022 now. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down, dude. You know, I'm down. Let's do it. So bought my ticket, ready to go. And then like a month before we're going, I hurt my back. And it's like, and I've hurt my back a lot of times. So I've actually had a lot of back issues. I have a laundry list of things going wrong with discs and compression and sciatica and all kinds of other stuff. So I have to really be smart about how I use myself. And I, at the time, I thought, like, I'd rather be more cautious than more, like, who cares, you know? And so I did hurt myself training. So I was like, you know what? You know, that sucks. I'm going to miss it, whatever. Next year, man, next year. So 2023 comes up. And then this time around, I am trying to be smarter about it. And I hurt myself way earlier. But I hurt myself to a point where, like, I was already back, kind of. And I guess I could have done the Tough Mudder, but I was so scared of my back. I was like, I don't want to freaking get pulled out in a stretcher, man. Like, that's embarrassing. And nah, man, that's, I don't want to go out like that. So I kind of just kind of like, I psyched myself out. I psyched myself out of even trying, you know. And he was like, who cares, man? We'll help you do it. And man, if you don't want to do it, you can just go around. We're not judging you. We just want you to be there. And he was like, he's a cool dude, man. And I was like, you know what? I don't feel comfortable. I can't do this. So between 2023 and 2024, when I did it just this April, actually just like what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I had hurt my back again early in the year. And I hurt my back again. This time I was picking up a sock. I literally turned around to grab some new socks that I had got for my son. And I was like, I reached out like, oh, here, son, take these. Oh, my God, my back. That was it, dude. I kid you not, I was bedridden for a week. I was peeing into a jug because I couldn't crawl to the bathroom. So I was just hoping. I was like, don't give me anything to eat. Like, I was like, I don't want to eat because I don't even know what I'll do if I have to poop. Like, I don't even want to go there. I don't want that. I'm sorry I gave you that mental image. But I was like, yeah, no, I was so scared of being in that pathetic position, you know, that so many people have been in. And I feel for everyone who deals with this kind of stuff, right? But it did change my mindset. So it was good in a sense. Getting hurt, turning around and grabbing a pair of socks from the floor made me think, if I'm going to get hurt picking up socks, I'm going to get taken out on a stretcher at the next Tough Mudder. Like, that's it. Because if I can get hurt doing nothing, I'd rather get hurt doing something. That was the plan. Fair. Yeah. So here we are. Like, I knew plenty in advance, you know? Had about 6 to 8 months in advance knowing I was going to do this. I'm training, and I'm not training the way I would train when I was younger. Like, I didn't have the same endurance or whatever, but I am up my cardio. I'm walking more. I'm doing some jogging. I can't jump rope to save my life, so I do a really embarrassing thing where I do invisible jump rope. Basically, it's almost just a hop. I mean, really, that's all you're doing, you know? So I would do stuff like that. Like, I try to build myself up, and I did build myself up. Definitely, right? Definitely built myself up from where I was, you know, 8 months ago, right? Which, truth be told, since we're in this, you know, more of a fitness podcast, I'd gotten the heaviest I'd ever been in my life, like 8 months ago, because I had just came off the injury, and it's just like shame and eating and booze. So it was just bad news bears for me. And I had never weighed more than I did then. And so I lost maybe, I think, 30 or 40 pounds from then till April. But you could never tell because I just looked normal again because I just gained so much, you know? But, yeah, so I was stoked and I was ready to go. And, you know, we show up and I'm going to tell you the honest story because it wasn't like it was this real good feat of, like, strength and teamwork and all that jazz. A lot of teamwork, but really, like, we got there early and we were chilling, and they're like, let's crush the Modelos. So right before the Tough Mudder, like, let's get these Modelos. I'm like, well, let's do it. Why not?
Colombian style. So
we had a Modelo for breakfast, basically. And luckily, the Mexican me, it's almost like a protein shake in a way. If you're Latin, you understand it. I don't know how else to say it. So I was ready to go. I was like, are we moving something? Because that's like the fuel, the natural fuel for moving somebody from apartment to apartment or house.
Of course.
And, you know, and so, you know, we had our own Modelo. We got in there. We were ready to go. And I was nervous, you know, because it had been so long since I was actually really physical. And then I thought it was going to be a 5K. And they're like, no, this is the 5 mile circuit. I was like, what the fuck? Like, I thought 5K, not 5 miles. That's like way more. That's almost double. Like what the fuck, you know? And I was like, whatever, man. I'm not even gonna think about it. I'm gonna one obstacle at a time. That's the mentality. This is just one thing, and then we'll consider the next, and then one thing, and we'll consider the next. So and the team was there, and actually because it was my brother-in-law Eddie's birthday, our group was like 20, 25 people. So there was
That's what I was gonna ask. How many people?
Oh, there was plenty of us, man. plenty of us in all shapes and sizes, male and female, age gap from like, I think 18 to like, I'm 40. And there was someone I think older than me, you know? So good gaps and everything. Just a good group of, like, if you're like buying 25 random people, that would be us basically. Right. Okay. So I ask him, I'm like, we're about to start. I'm like, hey, Eddie, like, compared to the Spartan I did back in like 2018, right? When I weighed like 40 pounds, even less than I do now. I'm like, how hard was that? He's like, oh no, bro. That Spartan race was way harder than the mud runs. Like, by far, it was way harder. Like, we were dying that one. Like, that was a hard one. I'm like, okay. You know, this might feel the same, but at least I know it's going to be, you know, I've already felt something like this. More than this, probably. We start off and, like, you know, this guy gives this really dope, inspirational, like, speech. And it's really dope. And I mean, I won't go into the details of it because if you do it, it's probably going to be the same foo and you'll enjoy it. Right? But he sounds like that guy, that Warriors guy. So just a little tidbit there.
Okay.
We take off and it's like, we're starting to hike and it's like this, you know, basically it's like this, it's in Glen Helen in San Bernardino. So it's basically the mountains, like people go dirt biking there and stuff like that. And it's like all kinds of up and down hills. If you're a mountain biker, it's very similar to the kind of trails that you see over there. A lot of fire road style trails, right? And there are some single track sections too. If you're a mountain biker, you're familiar with that, you know, with basically it's like a very narrow passage and it's pretty steep and windy. And we start going and we're hiking up in there. We're like jogging, you know, we're trying to keep a pace, but stay together. And the first one is like a barbed wire fence. They have dumb names for everything. I don't remember all of them, but this one was called like Kiss the Mud because it shows you like there's like a big sign up there. It's like Kiss the Mud. And so it's like they give you like basically that barbed wire on top of you and you got to crawl on your belly under the barbed wire on the dirt and mud to the other side. And I don't know how far it is. It felt like it was like 15 yards maybe. And as I'm going, I realized that the ground isn't even. So there's these sections that kind of go up a little bit. I'm like, oh man, if it goes up, like I'm kind of a bigger guy now. what's going on? I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Dig my way through? Like I'm going to hit the bomb wire no matter what. And sure enough, I just had to rely on my teammates around me. Like, cause I couldn't get any lower to the ground. It was like, this is as low as I get. I'm just round. Like that's literally I'm bigger than the obstacle. And they would like have to like unhook me, my back and my butt from the barbed wire. So that was like, okay, well, that's one way to start, you know, like and from the get-go, like you already have like kind of like road rash on your knees and on your elbows from the crawl. It's like the kind of crawl you see like military guys doing.
Yeah. The army crawl.
Yeah, exactly. The army crawl. Yeah. So it's like that. So we get out of it and everyone's like, yeah, like we did it. That's one obstacle down. Let's keep going. And we're feeling good, right? Dude, the next section was just hiking, to be honest. And I was kind of taken back because I thought if there was one thing I feel like confident about since I did so much mountain biking and hiking in general would be the hiking. And that was what gutted me. The hiking was gutting me, dude. Like it was steep. It was these hard pitches. I guess what they use them for is ramps. So they have to be at a certain degree to get some air for the motocross bikes or whatever, dirt bikes, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was like, it was like nothing but kickers. Like, so it was like up, down, up, down, up, down. And so like it worked you. And we got to like the first like wall. It was like a series of two walls. And it was like an 8-foot wall and it was like straight up. And then like, so we climb over that 8-foot wall and that was cool. Yeah, whatever. You know, like you jump up and you hang on and your teammates kind of help you up over it.
Yeah.
And you jump over the other side and then you come around again to make sure everyone else is kind of going. And I noticed that our group was kind of taking like the more team approach, even if it wasn't our team, we were helping all kinds of people, which is super dope, you know? But yeah. My dumbass thought I could help too. And I was, and I didn't realize until much later that I was using energy I didn't have. Like, I was spending money I didn't have. Like, it's like your friends are all rich and they're buying rounds. And you're like, yeah, I'll buy a round too. And then you buy one round, you're like, oh, fuck, I'm broke. Like, that was a dumb idea. Like, why did I couldn't even pay for my own drinks. Why were I buying everyone else a drink? Like, that's what it felt like. I was like, I shouldn't have been helping, but I just kept helping and kept digging my hole deeper. But that was super cool. Eventually, it got to what they call it, like, pyramid scheme. This was terrible, dude. This is a 15-foot wall in an angle that's slick. It's like a slide, basically. There's no ropes. You gotta find your way up it. And so the way you do it is you physically have to do a human pyramid where one person's on top of another person's shoulders and you line up one after another until someone gets to the top. And then that top person then leans over and pulls each one of you guys up one by one and you use each other to get up. Like ants. Like, imagine ants trying to build like a little bridge or something, right?
Yep.
Dude. So the first attempt, I was like, I'll be on the bottom. I'm one of the bigger guys. I'll be the base, you know? So I have a foot on my shoulder and they're climbing up. They're doing their thing. I can't even see because if I look up, I'm just going to get mud or dirt in my eyes. So we're just there. And actually it's Eddie right next to me. We're just there. And they're climbing up. And we hear them like, oh, we're almost there and whatever. And we can hear the excitement. And all of a sudden, like, my arm just starts going numb. And I'm like, oh no, oh no. So I tell Raul, who's right directly above me, I'm all right, I'm gonna have to switch you. So I grab his foot and I switch it over to the other arm. And as I'm doing this, because we're literally in a puddle of water in mud, I feel like I'm probably like a good foot deep into the mud now. Like, my leg is, my foot, my complete shoe is completely under the mud. And we're getting deeper, Eddie too. We're both getting deeper because of all the weight of the people.
Yeah, yeah.
So eventually they're trying to do whatever they're doing on top. I couldn't see. But it fails. And all I hear is, oh no. I look up and I just see like seven people hurling down a slide coming at Eddie and I. And I'm like, oh, I better move. And my feet are trapped in mud. So I can't go anywhere. And they just all pile on us and we all feel like, oh, you're like the old Simpsons groan, like,
yeah.
We get up and we try it again. And I'll spare you the details, but basically because I didn't see them do it, I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I tried to climb up people. And I was like crawling on people as opposed to using them like a lot. Oh, it was really embarrassing. There's photos. I'm not sure if they're going to get shared or not, but it was bad. Eventually we climbed up and it was awesome, right? It was good. It was definitely a test.
Oh, did you like lose a shoe or anything at any point during the run? Or like, because I always wonder about that with like all the mud. It's like, yo, I lose a shoe and I would quit. I'd just sit down.
Oh, you see that a lot. You see a lot of shoes come off. And I kind of like understood because I had like the history of my brother-in-law doing it, right? And my other brother-in-law and other friends of mine. So I kind of understood what I wanted to do. And the person that I felt that had like the most advantage was Raul, who has like these fancy, like minimalist hiking shoes that look like your toes are like showing or whatever, but it's fully wrapped, right? Almost looks like a river shoe, right? Like kayakers use them a lot. So I was like, well, I should get a pair of those. And I looked and they were like $100. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. So what's on Amazon? And I saw like a very similar looking thing and it was like $30. I was like, all right, I could do $30. So I bought these shoes off Amazon and they're like, yeah, they strapped really tight and it was like very form fitting of my foot. And it was like breathable, so you could be underwater with them. They're designed to be on ground, on like land and dirt and rocks. They're like anti-slip. It was probably the best shoe I could have probably had. And like all the reviews were like, it's an amazing shoe, but it don't last that long. I'm like, good, I need it once. Like, so I don't care. I'm not going to wear these again unless I wear it the next year, you know?
It's like I'm spending $30.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, as long as I can use them the one time, that's fine. It really was better.
Yeah, exactly. And so like now there's like my obstacle course shoe that I will wear whenever I'm going to do one of these. So
nice.
Yeah. So yeah, when we got out of that pyramid thing, like I felt it. Like the next hike, people are starting to like kind of jog and stuff, and I'm starting to like have that like. I played football, so like I instantly knew that the minute my body wanted to kind of curl over and put like hands on knees, like I had gotten yelled at so much for that my whole entire life that instantly I put my hands over my head and like in my mind I'm like, there's no air down there. There's no air down there. So yeah, chin up. I'm doing it right now. I'm not sure if you can see, but you know, I know it's a podcast, but I'm doing it right now. My nose is high in the air and I'm trying to get in all that good air. So I was doing that. I was trying to kind of like get my breath back because I had kind of just lost too much endurance in that climb of climbing like seven people to get to the top, you know. And by the time we got to the next event, it was just like the worst event to follow it. It was, they call it the Mud Mile, and it's basically like seven or eight mounds. Each one of them is like eight mounds, and each one's 10 feet tall. And so you slide in down 10 feet into water and mud. You got to climb over the next hill. They're like these fat, chubby, muddy walls. And they're 10 feet high. So you can't do it alone. You need people to pick you up. And then you're trying to grab up on like the mud and there's nothing to grab. So you're hoping someone helps you up. And then you just kind of do it for everybody. So like they help pick you up. You climb up and then you turn around and you try to get someone up. And all the while, like when you're on top of that, there's probably like 3 feet of room. So you can't pull too hard because you'll fall backwards. And there's also a chance you'll fall forward if they're too heavy. So it's like you're really trying to like judge that situation and try to use the right strength and leverage. So that was kind of like the worst thing I could have been doing because eight of them and then helping everybody. And yeah, I was so gone after that one. After that, I was in pretty bad shape, but I just kept going. And the next one was actually kind of nice because the next one was actually like what they call the ice dunk, which I was really dreading it. It's basically like an ice bath. It's like they say it's like 34 degree water. It's basically like this open pool. You got to go underwater and kind of go under. Like if you go up, you hit your head, right? So you have to go underneath these like walls or whatever. And you're in full water, and there's nothing but ice all over that water. They just keep dumping ice in there. So it was, like, I've often wondered about, like, ice baths. I don't wonder anymore. And you know what? I don't want to do it. Like, I don't care. Muscles, no muscles, I don't care. I don't want to do it. That shit sucked. It was not a fun experience. And I walked out like, I was just like, cussing, like, oh my God, it's like you're like flexing everything, and I think you're just flexing just so you're like don't feel the pinch of the cold, because that thing sucked, man. And it was a short distance, it was maybe 10 yards, and I was like, nah, man, that was not fun. It felt good to be refreshed, you know, but it felt terrible to be in like you've done that, you've been to a party where like you're trying to fish for the right drink and your hand's in there for too long, you're like, oh, that shit hurts. That's like your whole body. Your whole body's in that, including the nether regions, you know, like all kinds of that goodness there.
No, I'm not in for that.
No. Oh, honestly, the more you think about it, the more you're not. So you just kind of go. You know. What was the next obstacle? I think the next one was like these, I don't know what they call them, but it's like this. They're like these cubes, right? Like long rectangle things, and they rotate. So the way you go on it is like someone hangs on to one of the sides of this cube, basically, and they push you over. And when you go over the other side, it's your job to pull like that like square thing that rotates. And that way the next person that's on there comes over. And it's like this like kind of rotating, like, I mean, I don't know how to explain it other than like, like, you know that lat workout where you pull the cable down, like, and you're working out your triceps? It's like doing the hardest one of those over and over again, because every time you go over, you got to help the next person up. And that's basically what you do. You jump on, you hold on, you got to push that thing down. Like you're giving it like the world's strongest Price is Right spin of the wheel. That's kind of what it, like, that's the best way I can explain it. But
that sounds like, I get it. Like I was trying to like picture it. I was like,
it's hard to explain it except like a Rubik's cube that's like really, really long. You gotta like climb over it and it rotates. I don't know. It's actually hard to explain. But that thing was hard though, because when I walked out of that, I think that was like it. Like I think that was like totally done at that point. Like completely spent. And I think that was like a breaking point for me where I thought, shoot, I'm not sure if I can do this. Like how much more do we have to go? And so we're doing the hike, which is for some reason just kept going. And I'm starting to like, now I'm walking and I'm doing like very heavy, hard steps. Like my body's feeling a little bit weird. Like, you know, like there's this feeling when you're like, am I about to pass out? Like I'm starting to have that. And I'm like, just whatever, one foot, the next foot. Like, and I'm trying to hike up and down this thing. And then I get to the top and then there's like this stupid steep, like decline now, and so we're going down it, and it's like impressively steep. Like it's so steep that I would not want to go down this on my mountain bike. And I realized later this is what they use for the cars that want to go up that steep thing, like to see if they're crawling up something like crazy. That's what they do there. So I'm like, oh well, that would have to be pretty steep then, right? Like all those trucks and shit, they go on the dirt. So we come down that and we get to something that I'm finally not afraid of, right? It's like this, I'm not afraid of heights. So like, I'm not really intimidated by this 40-foot like pyramid. It's like one of those rope climbs where it's like a net, it's all rope. So you got to climb up it, like a ladder, like a rope ladder that's all netted. So it's like, I'm like, oh, it's like this, finally something I'm not afraid of. Like, okay, let's just do this. It's going to be easy. You know, I'll take my time with it. So of course, you can't just start climbing. You have to like climb up a 10-foot wall. So they help you up it and you crawl up. And some people just jump up and go. Don't get me wrong, right? But I'm like, I'm not, you know? So give me some leverage and let me go. When I jump up to climb up to that like net climb or whatever, I get the world's worst cramp on my right calf. And I just remember telling, like, because my brother-in-law was picking me up. I'm all down, 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 down. And I went down all the way to the bottom again. And my leg just instantly wanted to curl up. Like, just like, it was knotted up. And I look at my calf, and it's just, like, twitching. And I'm like, damn it. Damn it. Like, well, you know, it was a good run. And they're like, oh, don't worry, man. Like, stretch it out or whatever. Like, you can go around. Like, don't sweat it, man. And I'm like, how much more is left? And they're like, 2 more miles. I'm like, oh, fuck. like, Jesus Christ, like 2 more miles. I'm cramping now. Like, dude, I can't believe this. And like, so I mean, because I used to ride bicycles a lot and everything, like I've had a lot of cramps. So I'm like, okay, I know what to do here. You know, let's stretch it. Let's walk it. Let's like move it up and down. Let's do everything I know what to do. I'm going to, you know, with the one exception of gain some kind of like electrolytes in me, there is none, right? So whatever, I stretch the heck out of it, and I have this moment where I'm like, am I gonna go try again, or am I gonna go around this thing? And I'm like, fuck it, let's try again. So it's been like 3-5 minutes. I try it again. I get up there, and once I get up there, I'm like, okay, I got this. Like, all I had to do was get there. Like the rest of it, I know I can do. And sure enough, I went over it. And for me, it was one of the more awesome moments, because when you're at 40 feet high and you see this event and you look left and right, and one, it's Glen Helen, so it's beautiful, right? I love being in the hills and in the mountains. I love it. So I get this gorgeous view and I'm looking around. I really get to appreciate like what I'm doing just for a split moment. Like I didn't hang up there on the top for like 5 minutes or anything. I was probably there for all of 10, 15 seconds, but that view alone was like super killer. You see all these foods and dudes and girls and women and old people and people like with disabilities too, man. Like, and they're doing it. They're all out there. And like, that's the whole vibe of it. Like, you're going to get this done and people are going to help you that you don't even know. And you're going to help people that you don't even know. And I'm like, hell yeah. Hell yeah. I see everyone's just working. So I climbed down and then it was actually like a long, like it's probably the longest jog. it was probably like a good like mile of just jogging. It's just out and back to nothing. There's nothing going on. You're just freaking jogging in the dirt, you know? And we get to this section, and it's like this another water section. And it's like, it doesn't look hard. It's like this weird little kiddie pool that's maybe like, the water's probably like 3 feet high. But then there's like, you get like, it's covered basically the whole way with like a metal gate, like a chain link fence. It's covered the whole way. And then in 4 to 5 foot sections, they're either covered completely so you can't see anything. It's a pitch black. And it's like, so it's like for 5 feet, you can see it. You can see the sky. For 5 feet, you can't see shit. It's covered with a tarp. Then 5 more feet, it's just a chain link fence. And so you have to go underwater and basically flip upside down and crawl upside down with your face next to the chain link fence. And you go section for section. And every 5 feet, you basically can breathe again because the tarp's not there. And we just kept seeing person after person. And we saw like, you know, big strong guys getting pulled out from that one. We saw, you know, young dudes getting pulled out. We saw chubby guys. We saw old guys. We saw women of every same thing. Like we just saw every different kind of person not making this. This was probably like the most failed event. And we're start talking amongst ourselves because there's like a long wait to get to this obstacle. And we're like, this is the one, dude. This is a psychological one. This is the one where mentally, this is what, you know, people can be physical, people can get hurt, but this is the one that messes with your brain. And that's why people are quitting. And we're like, so I'm not going to talk shit. Like, I'm not going to say it looks easy. I'm not going to say, I'm just going to be like, I'm preparing that. I just made this like decision to kind of like march on, even though my leg hurt like hell. But I'm like, this might get me. Because I don't know, like we all said it. We're like, we won't know how we feel about this until you're in the water, upside down, crawling backwards underneath in the blind, like in the dark. And sure enough, it was like, it was psychologically the hardest thing I did that day. Because it was like creepy. It's creepy. Like it kind of feels like drowning because you're basically not breathing for a section because you're trying to crawl and you're just holding your breath. Not like you're drowning or anything, but the fact that you don't have a choice and you have to make it to this section just to get your next breath, it's a weird feeling. And so, you know, I popped out of it. I did it. And when I got out of the water, I was so loopy. I felt like I was straight dizzy, dude. I felt like I was going to fall on my face. I was taking steps that I thought were straight, and I was literally stepping side to side trying to hold my balance. And I put my arms out like, whoa, what the hell? And I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, I'm like super dizzy. Is anyone else dizzy? And everyone's like, yeah, I'm disoriented. Like all your senses got jacked up when you're upside down, underwater, crawling. Like, yeah. And you can't just go underwater because it's not that deep. So you're doing this weird backwards crawl on the fence. It's, yeah, I got out of that and I was like, okay, I'm trying to shake it off because I was like, I'm not good. my mind is fuzzy right now.
And that sounds like super, especially at this point too, where, you know, you got about 2 miles left and now you're here. It's like, here, let's give them something now more fucked up. Kind of, you know.
They weren't all fucked up though. Let me tell you about the funny one. Like there was this funny one and they called it the crybaby. And I just thought it was the funniest thing. They're like, okay, you got to crawl like 20 yards in this like tunnel. And there's what they call like gas, whatever fancy gas is, like, they're going to gas you when you're in there. So they're like, if you have any lung problems, don't go in there. If you're sensitive, you know, to your breathing patterns, don't go in there because, you know, it's like basically they're going to test your mind and your lungs in this one. And we were kind of like, oh, shit, man, do I want to go in there? Like, I don't want to fucking die in there. Like, what the hell, dude? It's not that serious. Like, are they even giving medals out? Like, is it worth it? And they're like, oh, they are giving medals out. Okay, well, then let's try it. So I crawl underneath it, and then everything about this one was stupid. So I crawl in, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to be crying. I'm going to be throwing up. This is gonna, like, they're gonna gas chamber me here. No, dude, you go in there. You know what it smells like? You know what it was? Vicks Vaporub. Vapor rub. It's Vicks. It smelled like, it was menthol. So I went in there about, oh, it feels good in here. I could take a nap. Like, this feels amazing. Like, I walked out feeling fresh. And then, like, I was crawling. And I realized this is a pretty tall area. I could bear crawl here. I'm like, oh, I don't even got to mess up my legs. So I bear crawled it. And I'm like, oh, this is easy. Dude, we walked out. We started laughing. Like, that was a joke. Like, that one was a joke. Like, it was literally, like, a break.
You come out, your sinuses are clear. It's like, oh, I can breathe easier now.
Exactly. It was like, it actually helped us. Like, it was not like a bad thing. It was a helpful thing. Yeah. So that was funny, dude. They call it the cry baby. There was, the menthol crawl, basically.
Well, I guess they call it a menthol crawl, though. It wouldn't sound as intimidating as like the cry baby. Oh, man, I want to do that.
Now you're thinking tear gas, and you're thinking like some kind of agent. Orange type. Oh, my skin's gonna peel. No, man, dude, you go in there, you walk out breathing better than you walked in. Brought memories of me like being sick as a kid, and they put some vapor rub on my chest, basically. Like that. No, it was not. That was the one. That was the one. You know, like, was there anything easy? It was that one. That one was ridiculously easy.
Fair. Oh, yeah. So, like, all of it in total, like. Like, as far as time goes, how long did it take you in total time to get through?
So, it actually took us all a very long time because we had a group of 25 and we kept trying to regroup and help everyone else. And then after we would help our own people, because we were a big group, a lot of other non-group people were following us. And when you kind of make friends with who's around you. So, there was that little bit of, you know, camaraderie that, like, oh, you know, he gave me a hand here, I'll give him a hand back. And so you end up doing that enough with 25 people that you end up staying a lot longer in every obstacle. So one of the kids that went with us, young kid, right? He's my niece's boyfriend. He's like 17, I think, right now. He jet that thing, dude. Like, he's just like easy peasy that stuff. And he went hard. And I think he did it all in like an hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. And then for us, it took us like way over 2 hours. I think we were like closer to 3 hours for everything. But again, it wasn't like that's how long it took us. It was like we basically had to sit at every obstacle a lot longer, which for me helped me, because if it was like me going one after another nonstop, I feel like I probably wouldn't have made it, to be honest. Sure. I think that, sure, I was helping people. But sometimes I was waiting for people too, you know, like, so that balance of it. And even when you're helping someone, it's different than you giving your full effort to just go. Like helping someone up with a, you know, shoe up or whatever, like, or like giving a hand so that we can help them up, you know, like, it's not the same effort as you trying to pull yourself up over an 8 foot wall or 10 foot wall, you know? So that was part of it. And the help really mattered towards the end, because there was like, I remember there was like only two obstacles left, and my leg was like, I told my brother, I was like, dude, I'm fucked. Like, I know I am. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, I know I hurt myself at this point. He's like, really? Like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, like I've had injuries and I've injured myself. Like, it's not a cramp anymore. It's like, it would have been just a cramp, but I just said, the hell with you, leg. So at this point I was feeling what it felt like. And I'm like, it's a strain at this point. I strained the heck out of it now. So I'm like, all right, well, whatever. Like, my job is ridiculously like stationary. I just sit for all day, sometimes 16, 17 hours a day. I just sit, you know? So I do my part to stand up and stuff. I have one of those fancy desks that, you know, stand up desk.
No, nice.
But so I do my part, because if not, I probably wouldn't even fit on the screen that you're seeing me at. It'd be bad. But I knew, like, even if I hurt myself good, even if this is like a 3-month injury, well, I can still go to work, right? Like, What am I losing here? Like, what am I losing? I don't have a physical job. It'd be different if, like, oh yeah, you're like, you're a stair trainer. Your job is to test stairs, so you walk flights of stairs all day. Like, that would be a shitty job, one. But two, you'd be in really good shape. And then three, you probably wouldn't want to hurt yourself on a dumb event if you're not going to be able to work.
I think also just thinking about, you know, going into an event like this in general, I feel like for the most part, there is kind of that ideal in your head that, you know, in anything, but, you know, this is a really physical thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is the ideal, you know, for some, you know, and I'm sure for many that may consider or even sign up and then kind of back out because they're like, well, totally. Really physical, I might get hurt. I mean, so, you know, for all of you doing this, and I mean, especially with, you know, with you, you know, with the, you know, lead in having previous injuries, you know, before others, and then going into this one, it's like, dude, there's that potential. But like you said, I'd rather, you know, it's like, you know, if I get hurt doing this, you know, it's better than getting hurt, you know, picking up a sock.
There was a go out on your shield vibe from us, at least. And from me specifically, I knew I was like, after I hurt my leg and I kept going, I knew at that point I had already kind of made up my mind that, like, I'm going to go out hurt. I'm not going to go out. Like, I wasn't going to not do anything now. Like, and I got tested though, because the very next event was something that made me feel very confident and very completely terrified of doing it. So I grew up skateboarding a lot. Like, I was like over 10 years of skateboarding. I skated into my adult life. I was already 20 years old now, so skating, you know? And I started when I was like 5, 6, 7, you know, as a kid. In the 80s, you start on your knee and just progress and just have fun and I just loved it. I still love it, you know? And so it was a quarter pipe. It was a 13-foot quarter pipe, but it had a lot of unnecessary vert on it, right? Vert's like when it's completely vertical at the very end. Like, a 13-foot quarter pipe would probably have like a foot or two of vert. This one had like 3 or 4. Like, it was just like a steep-ass turn and you go up, you know? And so there were some dudes out there and some ladies that were literally just running on their own and climbing up that, jumping up and hanging on and pulling themselves up. Mad props to those people who did it that way, because that's ridiculous. That's some skill. That's some strength, right? But at the same time, I grew up running up ramps like this my whole life. So, like, there is a technique to it. People don't really understand how to run up a, like the, imagine like the half of a letter U, right? And you got to run and then go up vertically and not go backwards. Because people say, like, how do I run up a wall and then not jump backwards from it? Like, how do I, it's a mental thing. And I remember thinking that when I was a kid, right? Because it was hard to run up a vert ramp. But I had so much practice in it. I'm like, this one was for me. This is the one I have that I literally have life experience that gives me an upper hand. I feel like I'm not saying I can pull myself up, but I'm saying I know how to work my way up, at least. Like, I'm not afraid of that. But I kept looking at my calf and thinking, shoot, man, can I run? Because you do have to run. So, like, I was watching, like, my boys go, and they were all, like, in line and trying it. And, you know, first try, second try, third try, whatever it was, they were getting it. And then you basically, the strategy for us, at least in our section, because to the left of you, you have these, like, dope-ass human beings. They're just trying to do it by themselves. And then to the right of you, you have these people who are like, all right, I can't do that. Maybe I tried it or whatever, but now I'm going to use the rope. So I'm going to climb up holding this rope and climb up it, right? Which honestly seemed harder in my mind, right? But we were in the middle, and the middle was people just running up it, grabbing someone's arms, and pulling themselves up as they pulled you up as well. And so I'm seeing all my buddies go and they're doing it. And I'm like, all right. So I leave like from where they were. And I remember that Eddie was like, oh, I saw you leave. I thought you were going to like go around or something. I'm like, no, I had to like test my leg. I'm like, can I even run or will I fall? Like, so I just did a couple like two quick little like jogs, like half sprints, went out, did all right, all right, I'm good. I'm gonna sprint back real quick. It was a good, you know, maybe a 10-foot run. Go again. All right. The leg held up. It hurt, but it held up. I'm all whatever, man. We're in now. If I can run that, I'm running this. And so I look up and I see like Raul, I see Eddie, I see like all my boys right there, right? So I'm like, all I gotta do, I know these guys. All I gotta do is if I can hold on to their arm, they're gonna make it happen, right? So I'm running up, I get to the vert part and I launch up the way I know how to do it. It's a perfect jump in my opinion for my fat ass. And I grab onto my buddy Raul's, my brother-in-law Raul's arm, and he has my arm, I have his arm, and we're locked. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I got this. And I'm trying to like get up and I'm wiggling my way and I'm trying to do like a pull-up. So I'm pulling myself up and I'm like almost at the pull-up level. And all of a sudden I completely get extended and I'm now hanging. And I look up and I see Raul looking at me with this oh shit face. He's the only one that has me. And I weigh like twice what he weighs. And he doesn't have a lot of leverage. So he's literally about to flip over and I'm really about to pull him back. And the guys see that. So they all try to, you know, they all grab him and then grab my other arm. And I work my way up. And then we help our other people up too. So it was cool though, because like he almost single-handedly got me up. And then like my heavy ass almost pulled them back down 13 feet face first. Which would have been like terrible. It would have been like so bad. But yeah, that was like the last hard obstacle. We did that vert thing that I forgot. They didn't call it the Everest. And then after that, it was just like what they're famous for. It's like this, like 10 yards of all these like strings coming down, and each one has 10,000 volts, and it electrocutes you, and you're in water, and it has no amperage, so it's like painful. But not like life threatening, really, unless you have a heart problem. Right. And like, so I see that I'm looking at this. I'm like, all right, let's see what I can do here. Like, if I hit one of these, I get electrocuted. So what if I maze my way through them and I don't touch any of them? I mean, like, then I win. So, like, some people are just like, oh, dude, some people are like crazy, just. They're like running through it, and there's like they put like these like obstacles over it, so you gotta like step over like these two bars type thing, right? So it's not like you can just run straight. You actually have to like kind of like work your way over it, and you're in water. So I see people just running through it and getting shocked up, and they're like, ah, and they fall to their face and get up and keep going. I see other people take it just like straight boss, and they just get zapped and they keep going. I'm like, all right, well, I don't want to do either of those things. I'm gonna like. Finesse my way here, like this beautiful round body is gonna finesse his way through these electric ropes here. And I was doing my best. What's that movie with the girl who's like going all sexy because there's lasers?
Oh, Entrapment.
Yes, I'm doing my best Entrapment or whatever. Like, I'm trying to be like sexy with it, going around this one, going around that one, just like
man,
trying
well,
to make
I
it through
break
this.
It to you. But you are no Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I don't think, no. And honestly, the like four or five F-bombs I dropped towards the end, I made it a good halfway before I touched any real rope that's coming down. And then I put myself in a position where there was no way through but to go forward. And I'm like, at this point, I gotta just go forward. Like, how bad can it be? I avoided like 60 to 70% of all of them. It was just like zap. Zap. I'm like, oh, come on. Like, at this point, it's fake. Like, you're like aiming for me now. What the hell? Like, I hit three right at the end. Like, the last three steps, I hit three in a row. And I got out, like, what the hell? Like, I was so pissed, dude. Like, there's like a photo of me. I didn't buy it because it was like $40, but I'm like, I'm completely clenched and I'm just like gritting my teeth. Like, when that thing shocks you, it's like someone just pounds you in the chest, dude. Like, you feel it from your balls to your gut to your heart. Like, it just thumps you, dude. Like, it's such a hard punch, dude. Like, it could, like, it'll put you on your ass if you're not ready for it, dude. Which is why, for me, I was doing it all clenched from the get-go because I felt like if I was loose about it, then I would, like, kind of jerk in because it does twitch you, you know?
Yeah.
But, like, so, I mean, that thing was painful. Like that one was, that one hurt, to be honest. Like that was legit painful. If you do one of these things or if you don't one of these things, you remember what that feels like. Like, and if you haven't done it and you want to do it, good luck, but you should do it because you'll remember it.
I think that everything that you described, it's like, I mean, it's challenging for sure, but it's one of those things where it's like, you know what? You'll be glad you went through it.
Oh, 100.
Up until you got to the electricity. Now I'm like, you know what? No, I'm good. I'm all right.
No. Right. You were glad you did it. It is like an overcoming of a, you know what it is? It's the final boss, you know? It's the final boss because it's not hard to do. But it's the hardest one. You have to psych yourself up for it. Because it's the easiest one to not do.
I mean, I have to psych myself up to get a finger in my butt at the doctor too, but I'm not thrilled about that either.
But if you do it, then you probably, if you can take a finger, you can take a shock.
I can't take a finger. I'm confident in my ability to not take a shock either.
And that is the title of this episode. You can take a finger, you can take a shock.
I'm the shocker on either end, I'm not in for.
No. I don't know. I would do it again, and I would do the shock thing again. I don't care, man. I honestly, it's like there was a. It's something I wasn't sure I'd want to do before it, and I definitely try to not put it at all in my mind because I felt nervous about it, right? But once I was there, it was very, I realized that, and I mean, I should have known this just from skateboarding, you know, like things are scary when you're thinking about them, but when you're in that moment, you either have that go in you or you don't, you know, like, yeah. And because these are not like, it's not a doctor putting a finger up your butt. It's literally a challenge in front of you. So like, not that that's not challenging, but this is like,
because it's not in front of you, it's behind you.
that's another thing. And then you feel two hands on your shoulders. But you step up. Most people surprise themselves. And maybe they don't do the shock one, right? But maybe they didn't think they'd do like the mud hill thing or like the pyramid thing or whatever. Like, but I think most people come out of this very surprised of what they were willing to do for themselves and for each other. And that's why, and don't get me wrong, Tough Mudder really does treat you well. Like from the moment you get in there, the vibe is cool. And they have like a bunch of free swag. You get a shirt, you get a headband, I got metal. They gave me beer. They gave me waffles. They, you know, like there's like free power bar type things. Like they hook you up after it. Like they're not asking for money upon money upon money after it. You know, like you did the damn thing and here's some free beers and here's some free crap. And here's like all this other stuff. Like it's like a little party at the end, you know, like, so, and they treated you well and it's a clean event. Like it wasn't trash everywhere. It wasn't nasty. And you would think with all the mud, you know, but no, they have like place to shower down and stuff, you know, like, so like the actual little like after party is pretty well kept, you know, like it was really, really cool. Like it's well put together, would do again, won't look forward to it, you know?
I mean, you had me at waffles, so you know I'll take a shocker for some waffles.
I mean,
it's a little weird, but
it's a little weird, but I mean, it was waffles.
Exactly. Well, I'm glad that you know you had the experience, and I'm glad you know the aftermath of it, coming out of it. You're like, you know, I'd do it again. You know that's because, like you said, it's like going into it. You know, it's the whole going in. Anxiety, the thoughts, right. But once you're in the heat of it, it's like, okay, well, I'm doing this now. I can't turn back because I'm doing this. And then once you're done, it's like I did it. So
not to mention now, like all said and done, I did actually hurt my calf. It's getting better now, but I didn't hurt my back.
That's good.
Like I didn't hurt my back at all, and that was like the most surprising thing for me because. There was slid down. I fell 15 feet on the slide. So that happened, right? You know, I had a, on that one, the mud mile, where there's like the big humps, you gotta crawl up the mud, 10-foot mud things. On that one, each time I slid down, I was nervous because you're jumping 10 feet down. And I'm like, that's not good for my back. But luckily it was in water, so I just took it in a certain way. And actually, my fear of hurting myself there kind of helped me design like a little process that our team was doing where like really hard to explain without seeing it. But if you were in the bottom of the little mountain, the 10-foot mountain, we yep. basically said slide on your butt and then press your hand against my hand and hold it straight. So we'll ease you in. And our team kind of adapted that on each one. So we didn't have to feel the like the sting of jumping 10 feet down each time. Sure. So it was a more mild kind of come down from the top, you know? So like, I mean, and that just happened naturally again. Like is that's really the cool thing, man. What happens naturally, like I didn't tell someone, hey, get this barbed wire off my ass, you know, like they saw I was stuck and they're like, well, let me move that shit for you, homie. Like, I was like, cool, thanks, man. Like, and then when I saw someone else stuck, I helped them because they hadn't got their shirt, you know, like you, no one's asking for help really, but everyone's really willing to give help, which is what makes the environment so like nice. Like it's a good environment. Like you don't see a lot of like, I can't imagine a lot of toxic people do this because for one, you'd probably hate it because you're just, it's an overflow of humanity.
Oh yeah.
You're in a group of like 50, 60 people the whole time. You're just like one of the bulls in the pen. So like, or one of the pigs in mud, better said, right? So it's everyone on top of everyone. It's like, there's if you don't like people, this isn't what you want to do.
No. I could imagine if, you know, you're a toxic person, a negative person, and you're doing this. So, you know, you're around all these people and you're already probably carrying a bad attitude. So it's just going to be magnified, right? So,
oh, yeah.
And also a lot of those toxic folks tend to have big egos. And, you know, I talk about this, you know, quite often when it comes to ego. You know, you get a, you know, everyone has to have an ego. You have to have an ego to do anything, to be quite honest. But it's a matter of the control of the ego. And you get a lot of folks with those big egos, those massive egos that won't do something like this because if they can't be the best at it, then they don't want to do it. And then you got some people whose ego is so big, it's like, I'm absolutely going to be the best. If I'm not the best, I'm going to keep doing this to become the best. But I, you know, ultimately, when you got a nasty attitude and a toxic person with a shitty ego, they're not gonna do some shit like this.
No, anyway. because the reality is, it's really hard to be the best at this. It's like,
yeah,
it's like at some level, yes, right? At some level, yes, but also most of the people doing this have to deal with the people around them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it would just be frustrating if you're just trying to like be the best at this from the get-go. If you're like this elite athlete. I think Spartan does this like a little bit different. Like they give like the whole course to these elite athletes so that they can just go and go like go ham on it, you know? That's And then that's where the toxic people I'm sure are, but that's also where the truest competitors are, and it's a little bit different, you know? But ain't no real like person that wants to be that number one person. They don't want to be in the group, like in the general admission, because there's just no way to be the best when you just can't get around everybody sometimes. It's just no way.
Well, also, it sounds like, you know, you had a lot of folks, you know, everybody's working together. Everybody's helping each other. So it's like, I can't imagine you going into this, anyone going into this, like, you know, I'm going to be the best. You know, maybe, you know, if you don't know any better, maybe this is your first one. You don't have a feel of the vibe. So you go in thinking, oh, this is a race. I'm going to go through this bitch. And then you get there and it's like, oh, shit, you know. People are helping each other. Someone's helping you. You help someone. It becomes this thing where it's like, now it's not even about beating somebody. It's about, you know, overcoming. And I think, again, a toxic, you know, individual, a toxic, you know, attitude, you know, I don't think they will be able to see that. They'll just like, oh, you know, like, I hate all of this. This shit is, you know, terrible. But in reality, it's therapeutic. You know, you get through it again. You're going to fucking feel fantastic. So.
Yeah. And it carried over well for me. Like since I've done this, even with the calf, I've upped my workouts. I've maintained my workouts at first, and now I'm starting to up them again because my calf's feeling better. So like I'm feeling good. I'm maintaining a more active lifestyle, if for no reason, but because I feel pretty motivated, to be honest. Like, I feel I did something dope and it felt good to do something dope, you know? So like, I want to be able to be ready, even more ready for the next one. I think I earned this one on grit, basically grit and determination. The next one would be nice to earn on some of that physical prowess too, you know?
Sure. Like, I think, you know, like you said, you know, kind of up in your workout and your activity, you know, after this, you know, sometimes you just need that kickstart, you know, something to kind of really make you feel like, okay, you know, I did this, I did the hard thing. Now let's do the maintenance thing. You know, let's do the thing that, you know, just kind of, it may not be it, because, you know, you might do another one in June. It's like, now you've got this, you know, kind of the snowball effect, you know, you're rolling down the hill and now you're getting this build up because you got the momentum of doing your workouts. Now you'll do another one and it becomes a thing. So yeah, I hear you.
I know they come in your area.
Yeah, they've been out here. I've seen them. Actually, I was supposed to do one a few years back.
Really?
And I'm not really sure what happened with it, because this was a period where, you know, this was in the Dante days of, like, you know, I'm a solid athlete. You know, I do shit, and whatever it was, I just didn't end up doing it. I think another friend, he had a Spartan run.
Okay.
And he was like, he couldn't make it. He was like, do you want to take my entry? And I was like, I don't know that I'm ready for that. It was like, nah, but thank you. I appreciate it. But no, they come out here. I think my friend Teresa did something of this effect.
There's like a lot of these now. There's so many now. So, and I'm sure they're all unique, but similar in the sense of they're fun. Because I did the Spartan, and now I did a mud run. Oh, here's the funny part. So when I finished this thing, right? I finished the mud run. I look at Eddie. I'm like, dude, maybe I'm just out of shape, but this was way, way, way harder than the Spartan we did. He looked at me, laughed. He's like, yeah, like, you're not the only one that feels that way. We were surprised. Like, this one was way, way harder than the last two we did. Like, this one was terrible. I was like, I'm glad I made it to the terrible one.
Hey, I mean, you know, but again, there's something to be said about that, though, too, because, you know, you go in thinking, oh, this would be one thing, and it turns out, like, oh, my God, this was hard, but you got through it.
So, we did. And it was, I mean, at the end of it, all's well that ends well, and just ended perfectly, man. It was super fun. After the Spartan race, because it was for Eddie, because it was his birthday, right? So that's where we all got together. We actually had a dope-ass party at my brother-in-law Raul's house, and it was the first time in such a long time that we had to get a band, like a backyard gig type band. And it was like, they were super cool. They were like, they played a lot of covers and stuff, and it was kind of like one of the, I felt kind of like, I don't know, like, it had been so long since I listened to live music. I'm not sure when the last time you heard live music, but, and I don't just mean like you went to a concert, right? Like, live music in a backyard. It was something that I grew up doing a lot. I was in like the punk scene and the ska scene. And, you know, like it was a normal thing for me. On the weekend, we were to go see live music in someone's backyard. And having these guys show up and do that was like, I don't know, man. It was kind of like a emotional boost and then physical boost. And it's just like all around great weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, just a combination of just good times, good vibes, you know, one after the other. Like, you know, we didn't have, at least not in my circles, you know, never, you know, any parties where, you know, you just have live bands, you know, folks that are, you know, they have their own bands and stuff playing. I not that I can recall. I mean, I might have been there, but I might have been trashed. I don't know. There's so many parties I've been to where I'm like just punch drunk, but it's like, hey, we're having a good time though. Like, there's music playing, you know, turn the fucking radio down.
Dude, where's it that's coming from? where's it coming from? Who cares?
It's like, oh shit, like I thought the power was out. Like, yeah, I mean, that's the band out in the backyard. Oh shit. Oh yeah, all right, rock and roll. But no, it sounds like, you know, fucking fantastic time. And, you know, just it's an experience, as I'm thinking, it was like, dude, I wish I could, you know, be a fly on the wall just to like see it, or fucking just experience it, just to do it myself. It's, dude, like,
you gotta experience it, man. Like, it's like one of those things where, like, it's so worth it. And honestly, at the level of fitness I'm at, to have done it, I feel pretty confident for the average person that was athletic. Now, I'm not going to say like the average, like if you looked at me and my physical state right now, if you look like me and you never did anything really physical in your life, like you're never a like decent level athlete, it might be pretty hard. But if you look like me and you used to be a decent level athlete, I think it's still there. It could still be there for you like it was for me. I literally just used everything I had from my past, like, you know, years of skateboarding and years of cycling and jiu-jitsu and, you know, everything I've done, like, it was in there already. So it's not like because I have this weird, I'm very super doubtful of myself for some reason. I'm a very confident person, but I'm super doubtful. Because, like, we were talking about bench pressing, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't bench more than 25s. I'm not even sure if I can do 25s anymore. Then, you know, one drunken night with my brother-in-law's, like, we ended up benching, and I ended up doing more than that, like, a good amount more than that. And I was like, whoa, like, I haven't benched in, like, 10 years, so, like, I didn't know. But nothing about my lifestyle made me think I would have gotten stronger over time. You know, but you forget that you do work out, like, you know, when all the drills in jiu-jitsu, that's working out. Like the training I did even for bicycle stuff, like I did a lot of push-ups because, it, you know, a strong core, you know, so like I worked out, like all those things build up to something. And I think like if you have had some kind of training in your life that's pretty consistent, like you, I feel like this is something you can do. I feel like there might be one or two get you, so they get you for a specific reason. But it won't be because you weren't fit enough to do it.
I think also, too, if, you know, you've done any kind of, you know, sports in the past, athletic stuff in the past, you know, there's a bit of a grit to you that comes with it, too. Yeah, it's like you have an understanding of what you're getting into, and also the understanding of I've started it, now I got to finish it. And yeah, you know, I won't be denied.
Yeah, and I think that's you're right. I mean, that part of it's huge too, because that carried me through. What I mean, obviously, I started for the right reasons with the right goals and the right mentality. But once you're in there, there's a part of your brain that's either going to say, "I'm not going to quit," or "I'm quitting the next time." When's the next out? Like, it's just you have to know kind of who you are, and it doesn't mean you got to stay there if you are one way, you know. And we all have breaking points where we're the other way, where we're like, oh, I don't quit for nothing. And I know me personally, I've always felt like I don't quit for nothing, but I've had my moments of quit. And I had moments where the brain just said no. You know, the heart wanted to, but the mind cracked, you know? Yep. I've been there. You got, it's like, it's sobering. And then it's also very like gratifying when you know that maybe you've given up a few times and you're able to overcome. And you'll never have those moments if you don't try shit like this, you know, like these are your opportunities to do it. And I think like I would recommend to everyone who wants to do something like this, like a mud run or whatever, I would say that go into it one obstacle at a time and just take each one for what it is. And let's say there's 10 and let's say you do two of them, then sign up for another one and be like, I'm doing three next time. I'm going to do three. And then the next time, I'm going to do four and work your way to doing all of them. Because that was my mentality for bicycles. Like I started riding bikes with a really fast group. And those ones dropped me hard after like 5 miles. And that was a 25-mile circuit. So I was like, fuck, tail between my legs. I was like, man, maybe this isn't my sport. But they told me, that's what they told me. They're like, no, come back again. You want to do 6 miles with this next time. Then next time, 7. Then pretty soon you'll be in that pack with us. Then pretty soon you're going to say, who can I beat? Then pretty soon you'll be like, can I beat everybody? And sure enough, that's how it worked out. And it worked out, and it wasn't a day. It was over a year before I was able to really be in that, you know. I was never the fastest, you know, but the consistency and the desire to do just a little bit better than the last time was the mentality that really helped me get better at basically everything after that. I know that was a bicycle thing, but I had never really had that for football, because football, you do or you don't, you're in or you're not, you're starting or you're not starting. And you work hard to try to start, but it's more like, you know, some people are just better, you know, and you got to deal with that. And that's good for your life as well. And with skateboarding, no, it doesn't matter at all. It's about your story. You know, skateboarding is about your personal story with your board, you're expressing yourself and living your life through that skateboarding, through the tricks you're doing, because you could be really, really dope and not know how to do this one trick just because it never called your attention. It's like, I didn't want that trick. I wasn't chasing that trick. But with something like this, like cycling or like this specifically, I think even jiu-jitsu, because you don't have to be the most well-rounded person to be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get good enough where I'm going to get my ass kicked, but my goal is not to get tapped today. Yeah. Like, and that's it. Like, I got tapped 7 times. All right. I'm going to hold out a little bit longer. I'm going to stay a little tighter. I'm going to not get tapped out 7 times today. I'm going to do 6, whatever, 5, but just not 7, you know, and you'll have your 8 days, you'll have your 4 days or whatever, but you're always trying to like, you're working towards that, like small changes, small building type thing, like just a little bit better every day.
Yep. You get 1% better each time out. I think about that too. You know, I have a specific teammate that I roll with that he kicks the shit out of me each week. So my goal is each week to just keep him from doing one specific thing. Mm. It doesn't matter. Just got to keep him from doing that one thing. Tap me 5 times.
Right.
But as long as I don't let him tap me with this one thing. And then the next week, that one thing plus another.
Right.
He's going to hit me with 4 other things. That's okay. I'm taking away 2 though. And, you know, just, you know, kind of what you're saying with that though, too, is like there's time that goes into this. There's patience.
Oh yeah.
You know, with wanting to grow and understand that, you know, you're trying to get better and you're not going to get all 100% better the very next day. It's going to be, you know, small steps. So I think, you know, we have to take that into account and really be serious about understanding, you know, like, look, I'm, you know, get back, you know, on my treadmill.
Yep.
And just jump on this bitch and jump on 7 right away. Nope, I can't just jump back 7. I've got to, you know, work my way back up to it. And it's like, you know, I get on 4. 4 used to be a walk, you know.
Right.
I kept 4 was a jog. Now 4 is a walk. 5, you know, yeah. 5 is a jog now. You know, 6 is like a, you know, kind of like a brisk run. 7 now is starting to feel like, okay, but that took me, you know, what we're in April. So it took me 4 months to get there. So it's like just having that understanding of knowing it's going to take time. And I think so many people lose sight of that if they even have that sight. Some people go in, I can't be, you know, great right away, or I'm going to be struggling, you know, right out the gate. Oh, well. Well, it looks like I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, and that's the hardest one for me to take, you know, when I see that in people, and I see it like in coworkers, and I see it in athletes, and I see it in even like youngsters. You know, it's like if I'm not good at this now, I don't want to do this. Like, I'm not willing to work. Like, it's like, not just at a job, you know, like obviously there too, but like, I'm not willing to grind for what I want. Because you know what? I don't want this. But you did want this. That's why you're here. You're here because you wanted it. But when you realize how much work it was going to take, you now you don't want this. So I think that's disingenuous to yourself, because you wouldn't have showed up unless you really wanted this. Like me, I could have easily said, you know what? You know, like I didn't even really want to do this Tough Mudder. And use that to be my excuse on why I quit halfway on some of them, you know? But the mentality for me was like, well, I'm just gonna give it a shot, you know, like, so if I don't make it, I don't make it, but I'm gonna not make it after I tried it, after I went for it. And so that's the thing about that mentality, where like the minute you realize it's hard, to be like instantly copying out, being like, well, this is dumb anyways, or like, oh, I don't even care about this anyways. It's like, don't do that to yourself. Like, I always want to tell them, like, don't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
You showed up, you cared. You cared because you showed up.
You know, I'd see that, you know, well, I've seen it before with I worked with a guy as we were talking before we started recording at my health insurance job. There's a guy there that had this attitude of, if I can't win something, I don't want to play it. And it was like, geez, Louise. And, you know, it turns out, you know, as you know, you talk with the guy, he doesn't play video games because if he can't win it, he don't want to be part of it. You know, one of the things that made sense when he said it, you know, it made sense, was like, he doesn't play the lottery because if I'm not going to win it, I don't want to play it. Like, I guess I get that to some degree. But I mean, you know, he was that way with everything, though.
I don't know, because even then, you're never going to win something you're not trying at.
Correct.
So, Sure, I don't like the lottery. I don't play it, but it's not because I don't think I'm going to win. Because I only play when I want to win. So I'm hoping I win. It's a little different in the sense that, like, obviously, I have no bearing on whether I win or not, right? But
correct.
But I only play the lottery when I want to win it, you know, like, so when I lose, it's like, oh, that sucked. But, you know, I didn't put too much into it. So, you know, we'll try again whenever I get this stupid jackpot of whatever. I'll try again because, hey, that'd be some life-changing money right there.
Oh, no shit. Well, I mean, also the thing is, though, too, is like with the lottery, you really don't have any control over it either.
Yeah, like, you have no
bearings. If you're riding, or if you're running, or if you're doing jiu-jitsu, playing basketball, you have control over your outcome. I mean, sure, your opponent might be much, much, much better, but you have some control over, you know, how that goes, whether it be, you know, you're you know, grappling against somebody, and you know, you're a white belt and you're going up against a purple belt,
right?
Sure, they're probably going to wipe the mat with you.
No, they 100%.
But the thing is, too, you're going to get your licks in too. And, you know, you have a shot. Whereas, you know, with the lottery, okay, I'm going to put my $6 in and get my 3 tickets. And let's hope for the best. And again, that's just, you know, what it is. It's a hope. But like, you know, when you're actually in a competition, you're doing something, you're physically there. It's like, look, I'm going here to control this thing. I'm going here to do this thing. And if this person on the other end is better than me, I mean, they're better than me, but it's not because I didn't try. It's not because I didn't have any, you know, effort into this.
It's super cheesy, but I mean, when I coached AYSO soccer for like my kids leagues, I had a bunch of little sayings that I like really like, they're not like affirmations, maybe they kind of are, I don't know. But I always told them, if we're not winning, we're learning. Like, that was big for me. It was a big part of, like, the mentality. I was trying to train these, like, 5 to 10-year-olds from the get-go. Like, if we're not winning, we're learning. So, sure, we lost a couple games, but what did we learn those games? How do we not do that again? How do we not let them do that again? You know, like what can we do to stop them from doing what it was that led us to losing? Because if we're not winning, it doesn't matter if we win or lose as far as like that game. It already happened, right? So you're done. That game's over. You lost or you won. But what did you learn? So if you're not winning, you're learning. And when you win, winning is one of the perfect ways of learning because you remember what you did. You remember what you did well. I scored that goal. I made that pass. Winning's easy to learn from. Losing is the harder one to learn from. And the greats will always tell you that losing was better for them than winning was. But the average person, in my opinion, gets more out of winning because it's easier to accept your criticisms if you're doing well.
Well, also, too, it's easier to go back and look. Like, let's say soccer, you scored. It's easier to go back and look at the video where you scored and what went right when you scored versus if you got scored on, you know, if you're the goalie and the other team hung three on you.
Right.
It's like, now you got to go back, look at that video. How'd they get me? Where that, you know, where was, you know, where was I lacking focus? You know, and now you got to pay attention to that. That's tough.
You got to figure out how you go from, look
at your follies.
How do you go from three goals and you to Scott Sterling? Like, you got to make that transition.
Yep. Yep. And that, you know, that's, you know, a saying we have in jiu-jitsu, you know, you don't lose, you learn.
I mean, that. Yeah.
I've been learning a whole fucking lot lately.
There's another one too for the winners too. And I would teach all the kids the same thing too. And I ripped it off. I heard some other coach say it. I'm like, oh hell yeah, I love that. I'm gonna steal that shit. And I did. And I've been using it ever since. And that's 0-0. So in soccer, you know, you score a goal, and honestly, if you score two goals, you pretty much can hold that and win the game. Like, you gotta like really mess up to lose that much, because it's so easy to waste time and kind of like just fight in the middle, and there's a lot that goes on that you can really control. That you're not doing great, but you're really playing so defensively that they're not going to score on you. You can do a very good job there, right? So what I would tell the kids is whenever our team scored a goal, you'd go in there and be like 0-0, 0-0. So when they score a goal, they'd all be like 0-0, and the mentality was, I can still lose this game right now, so I have to score a goal. They're going to make it harder on me, but I have to score a goal. And what it led to was a lot more goals scored, and like to the point where sometimes you'd have like a dad who was like all pissed off, like, oh, you guys keep scoring this and this. You guys already have it, this and this. I was like, no, it's 0-0, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
There are no goals. What are you talking about?
I would tell him that too. I'm like, did you forget the rules? We don't keep score. Like, they told us that. He's like, well, yeah, but my kids aren't having fun. I'm like, if your kids come to my team, they'll have fun. So it sounds like it's a you problem, bro.
You know, going back to like years ago, NFL, the then Washington Redskins, they had a coach who used to coach in college, Steve Spurrier, for the Florida Gators. And the Gators would run the score up, you know, in college. And the thing is, it's like, you know, you keep playing.
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah. You keep scoring. You keep scoring until the game is over. I mean, the Patriots have done it. You keep scoring. I mean, and it proved in that Super Bowl against the Falcons when they're down 28-3. They were still playing, and they ended up winning that game. I mean, you keep playing, and you know it's easy to, you know, kind of feel defeated when you're down. But again, you know, that's where that grit comes into play. You know, when you're like, you know, when you're running through that tough mudder, and you're like, I'm here, I've come this far, I got to keep going. You know, same thing. We're down 28-3. Well, we've come this far. We're still in this game. There's still time on the clock. Keep going until it's zeros. So
no, totally. So I 100% believe that. I mean, that was that Miami whipping too, or even the Raiders whipping of the Chargers this last year. You know, like, it's a mentality. Once you're there, you gotta keep going. You can't put the brakes on. I mean, it'd be unprofessional, in my opinion. You know, like, if there was a mercy rule, then this create that. But I don't feel that's a. That would be a good role.
Let
them play the game that they're playing.
And yeah, I mean,
the best part is, like, you can get your ass handed to you and be like, whatever, like 14-60 in a football game, right?
Yeah.
And then play them again in 2 weeks, and it'd be a whole different outcome. So there's no reason to slow it down. There's no reason to stop. There's no reason to pump the brakes on that kind of stuff. You know, it's a reason to learn.
That Miami versus Denver game this past season, when Miami scored all of the points. Now, the funny thing is that Denver team after that turned it around.
Oh, yeah. They woke up after that.
Yeah. I mean, they're like, oh, we learned a lot that game. Like, did you guys lost? No, we learned.
Oh, yeah. Like, they learned.
We learned 70 different things that week.
Oh, and that was an embarrassing game for them. And you know what? These mm-hmm. these are not just like you and me people. I mean, professional athletes, man, like this is their job.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine the whipping they took. Oh, it was more motivation than anyone could have ever hoped for. Like it did Denver so well. And even though a lot of people talk crap about, you know, Russell, he didn't play terrible after that. Like he wasn't a terrible quarterback after that. I know people just love to hate him, and he's a very hateable like persona. But as far as skill set wise, he wasn't bad at all. He was a top 10 quarterback, you know, like.
Yep. Couldn't do that when he was my quarterback in fantasy, but you know, that's cool. That's cool. That's right, you know. Yeah.
Fantasy football managers hold grudges.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we do. It's like, if you screw me over 1 year, I will never draft you ever again. Like another thing, I never drafted Ohio State players. I don't care what CJ Stroud does. I will never draft that kid. He could be the next coming of Jesus. I don't care. I won't draft him. I mean, Joe Burrow's kind of like on that cusp because he started at Ohio State but transferred to LSU. So it's kind of like,
I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know what the rules are, but I don't like you.
Well, and it's like, well, look, he's available in this round. Look, I'm going to pass on him right now. But if he comes back to me next round, I'll draft him because he's from LSU at that point. But right now, he's Ohio State. And I'm like, dude, he was only practicing with him. He never even played a down. It's okay. He you know, he has a Buckeyes jersey.
That's funny.
But real quick, before we end up wrapping up here, I want to ask you about Off the Saddle. What's going on with it, my friend?
Well, it's coming back.
It's coming back.
It's Off the Saddle 2.0, if you want to say it that way. I'm not sure why I said that. But no, it's Off the Saddle. You can find it on the Instagram. It's I actually forgot what the handle is. I want to say it's just Off the Saddle, but. Yeah, it's Off the Saddle, all one word. I'm on the IG. Basically, I do something very similar to this. I feel like my hiatus was a lot to do with the fact that I wasn't being physically active, and I felt kind of disingenuous to have a podcast about what I do when I'm not working out, because I wasn't even not working out. There was no workout to it, you know, like, so it felt off, you know. But this also, like I said, this Tough Mudder event was very, very transformative for me, not just like physically, but spiritually. I feel like I kind of got a little bit in me now. I feel like I kind of got my mojo back a little bit, and just like, you know, that little bit that helps you carry yourself a little bit more proud and be more happy about who you are and how you are. Because I mean, if anyone is feeling some depression, if anyone is feeling some kind of way about their life, I genuinely feel that doing something physically active is a good avenue to helping yourself get stronger mentally and spiritually. Because what we do when we give it our all is we really shine. We shine as human beings, and we do really well for each other. So with that said, that's kind of why I feel like, hey, it's a good time to start it up again, do the off the saddle again. I have an episode coming up with a coworker of mine. We're just going to shoot it up, kind of talk about, you know, this and that. It's a lot like this. It's a little bit loose, you know, like it's not specifically about sports or anything. More like for me, it's things I would normally do or talk about while I'm off the saddle, which I used to ride a lot of bicycles. So that's where it comes from. And of course, it's definitely borrowed from you, because you inspired me to do this. So yeah, it's kind of like the sister or the cousin podcast, because you inspired me to even try it, you know?
Oh, I'm glad that it's back. I'm, you know, looking forward to hearing it, and definitely we'll, you know, put the links up and, you know, shout outs for it, because, you know, when you were doing the podcast, you know, there was something to it that just felt like, I know for me, it was different for me because it's not my realm. Right. It was always interesting to hear, because, you know, you all had a way of talking about it that made me feel like I was there. I was like, dude, that, like, you know, not that I'm going to go out and, you know, take up this, you know, this new hobby, but, you know, this is kind of a gateway though, where now it's like, if ever, you know, I feel that, that itch, it's like, I have like this, this reference now to kind of turn to and listen to and kind of get this, you know, a little bit of an ideal foot in the door type deal. So, you know, I'm glad it's back. I think it's important. And it's always, for me, very, very inspirational and motivating to hear my friends, you know, doing podcasts and hearing their work, because like I always say with all of this, it, you know, we all grow together. So it's like,
definitely,
you know, if you're working and you're doing things, you know, I feel like, okay, you know what, let's work together. Let's grow together. So, you know, whatever you need from me, you let me know and I got you, you know, shout it out, throw the links out there and promote, you know, everything that we got for you.
Well, I'm going to hook you into a date soon too. So, and I don't mean to take you out, even though I would. No, let's get you on the, let's get you on the podcast. It's something I wanted to do from the get-go. So I'm saying it here. So I speak it into fruition, right? That's how, okay, that's all things should be done. You say it out loud so that you hold yourself accountable for what you're saying. And yeah, let's get together next month. Let's add you as a guest next month.
Okay. I'm down. You let me know what works, and I mean, I'll make the time work. So
love it.
Just,
love it. Let's
just
do
send
it.
Me what you need.
That's it. I already have one episode lined up and another one coming. So I'm excited. It's going to be a bolder format. I'm going to try my best to do a live, just record and post. And that, for me, what that does is it alleviates a lot of the side work of the editing, which, you know, is a show is easy to do. A show is fun. It's natural. But the editing is where the beast comes out.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. So. There's some episodes where, like, when we did So You Like Horror, so close to know, not need to play it back. There are two things I had to clean up, but, there were very small things. It's like, you kind of didn't really need to clean up, but there's like this bit of OCD in my brain where I'm like, I don't want that in there. And it was like, one of them was me coughing. I think there's another where we were talking. I think we were both trying to give each other room. So we both paused.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We were waiting for the other. And I was just like,
I was rusty, man. I was rusty. Yeah.
No, like, dude, like there are a lot of parts where you picked up the slack for me where I didn't, because no, that there are three parts. Cause there's a part I had to go check my notes. And you picked right up and ran with it. I was like, that's perfect. That's a clean cut, because I cut out the part where I was like, okay, hold on. Let me look at my notes real quick. You picked it up like without missing a beat. And I was like, oh, this dude's on it. He's got this.
Well,
so,
well, it's because if you haven't listened to So You Like Horror, it's super fun, because for me, I get these tasks, like watch this terrible movie that's going to scare the crap out of you and let's talk about it. So for me, I'm just like always stoked to have an assignment. So if you haven't listened to that, I recommend it, because it's a different vibe. And it's definitely like something like, I will watch horror movies, but I don't love horror movies. But I love talking about something that's like interesting. And when I watch a horror movie, to watch a horror movie, it's like, I have my favorite, Event Horizon. I have one, right? It's a favorite of mine. But the reality is, when you're like, watch this movie you never watched and you didn't really plan on watching, and watch it to talk about it. So now I'm like into it. I'm like, oh, I gotta, like, I want to take notes, and I want to like know about it. And it's super exciting. So, I mean, it's a good, cool way to hear like a different perspective on a horror film that maybe you knew, but now you're actually dissecting it in a way that's not just like, was it scary? Yeah, it was scary. Okay, cool. You know, like there's more to horror film than just that you got scared. Like, so that's what I didn't know before I ever did one of your shows. And the best part is, I got to find out when we did our first episode, where we basically dissected my favorite horror movie, Event Horizon. So yeah, since then it's been nothing but fun. I think we're at our time. So I appreciate you you know, bringing me in, brother. Like, it's so cool to be here. I'm excited.
No. Thank you for making the time. And like, honestly, like I said, we just recorded a couple of days ago, and for you to turn right back around and do another, you know, podcast with me, I greatly appreciate, you know, just making the time. But before we get out of here, I know we mentioned the podcast. You got any other shout outs or mentions you want to drop?
Alicia, I love you. It's my wife. That's about it.
All right. Well, I'll be sure to link the Instagram for Off the Saddle.
Thank you.
And then also, once you get the episode up, let me know so I can go ahead and drop the links in the stories and throw some posts out there as well.
Appreciate the love.
No, appreciate you, my friend. And as always, to everyone listening, thank you. If y'all got any questions, concerns, criticisms, feel free to reach out. You can find me at bjj.wiki on Instagram or Off the Mats Podcast, also on Instagram. If you want to be a guest, reach out. Let me know. You know, we'll make it happen. And if you don't, you ain't got to say nothing. Don't. You know, if something sounds funky while you're listening, let me know. I can't get better if you don't tell me where I'm messing up. So I just finally started getting the de-esser to work. So over there on So You Like Horror, I've been using it more over there because episodes are a lot shorter. But I've been trying to pepper in the de-esser over here as well, so those S's don't sound so sharp. Especially when my wife does the intro readings for So You Like Horror, she's horrible with it, with those S's. So
I got that pop thing on my mic. It helps me.
Yeah, I thought it was helping me, and it was not. I just realized, like, oh, it does nothing for me. So
you're just a really sharp dude.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and I didn't know how to use the S-er, and then finally I figured it out. And I'm probably still using it wrong, but it works for me. But yeah, y'all let me know if I'm fucking up. You know, I gotta, you know, be told so I can fix it. I want to give a big shout out to my friends over there at Nerd Rage Radio, Bobby, Chris, Joe, Marilyn, Phil, Ricky, Tiki, all you guys, love you. If it weren't for Nerd Rage Radio, I wouldn't be doing podcasts, you know. Right. So I definitely thank those guys. They've how long have they been podding? I don't know, maybe 9 or 10 years now. So, you know, my daughter's 8, and I think we were doing it for 2 years prior to her birth, I believe. So thanks to Nerd Rage Radio. I love you guys. I also want to give a shout out, as you already heard, to my horror podcast. So You Like Horror? It's about scary movies. So if you're into that kind of stuff, go check it out. And Manuel, who's my guest here for this episode, was also my guest for the most recent episode over there, where we talked about cursed films, specifically The Omen from 1976. So go check that out. We're actually, I was texting with Manuel the other night as I was watching Omen 4. So I think I'm going to do an Omen series episode, just kind of run through all the movies and talk about it, because it's a fun series and it's one of my favorite franchises. So, you know, go check out.
I didn't even know there were so many. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's I think there are a couple prequel or no. Well, the newest prequel just came out, the first Omen. And from what I'm hearing, I had my doubts, but I've heard nothing but positive. So now
I heard it was like, terrifying. So,
but now I'm like, fuck, do I go? I might got to go to this theater next Sunday and watch it by myself in the dark. So,
great.
You still have that Shutter login. I urge you to check out tomorrow night, Late Night with the Devil. Is Hidden Shutter. Check that shit out.
Late Night with the Devil.
Another one where I've heard nothing but positives on it. The trailer is fantastic. And
you're pushing me to the limit, man. But you know what? All right. I'm gonna give it a watch. Late Night with the Devil.
I'm gonna have to probably do an emergency episode on that one. And I was like, I don't want to.
I'll watch it and I'll listen to the episode. So
I think Sarah and I are going to watch it this weekend. I think we might record. Sorry, sidetrack. Go check out So You Like Horror. It's a fun time and a totally different vibe than what you get here. you might actually learn a little bit over there. Over here, we just talk shit. You know, you get our stories, but we like to cuss a lot here. Over there, we like to teach.
Pardon me. I'm so sorry. I have one more shout out.
Go ahead.
I got to shout out one of my favorite podcasts, Kalamton. So if you haven't heard of it, it's just dope ass. I mean, it's my favorite podcast. It's the one I listen to the most out of all the podcasts. Oh, second to maybe like Fantasy Footballers, but you know, it's seasonal for me. But Kalamton, it's my go-to on my commutes. I live in California, so everywhere is 3 hours away. It's the way it is. Yeah, so our traffic sucks, but your podcast, Kalamton, makes it a lot easier for me.
And that's part of why we make those episodes 3 hours now.
There you go.
It's like, just fucking drop a full, like give me well something to listen to the entire drive. So yes. Go check out the Kalamton Beer Club, also on Instagram. We have a good time. It's a happy hour podcast. So, you know, enjoy that shit. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out here to my guest, Manuel Manny Fresh. Thank you for doing this, man. I appreciate the fuck out of you, dude.
Thank you for having me, brother.
And as always, listeners, we love you. If you guys weren't here, we couldn't do this. So thank you. You guys keep listening. We're going to definitely keep making these shows. Thank you, everyone. And bye.
Deep boy with it. Now let me sing a song.